There were no elves anymore. They were all dead and gone, absorbed and murdered by a greater mental force, just as they'd always feared. Only their destruction came not from their most hated enemy, the mass mind of the Oversoul, but instead from their own allies and founders, the Uber Espers. They had turned on the elves, overwhelmed their defenses, and ate up their minds, their personalities, so that not one trace of the rogue Espers now remained. Now there were just the Uber Espers, those old and terrible monsters, and the armies of thralls they commanded. 5 grotesque abhuman minds, operating hundreds of thousands of thrall bodies. The Shatter Freak, the Spider Harps, Screaming Silence, the Gray Train, Blue Hellfire. Old minds, old demons, older by far than most people realized. The Uber Espers had been waiting and plotting and planning from the shadows of the Empire for untold centuries. When you expect to live forever, you can afford to take the long view. Lesser evils came and went, but the Uber Espers endured, and now their time had come. They had spent centuries deciding what they would do and how they would do it, arguing among themselves constantly, of course, but never doubting that one day they would see all humanity bow down before them. They were forced into hiding for many years, held down first by the Mater Mundi's authority, and then by fear of Owen Deathstalker and the other Madness Maze survivors, and finally by a golden age that was just too sane and stable to allow them any foothold. But now, everything had changed. The old adversaries were gone, the golden age had proved rotten at the core, and there was no one left on Logris to stop them from doing all the awful things they dreamed of doing. The Emperor's hold had been weakened, the Oversoul and the Maze people had all gone away, and the Uber Espers had made themselves like unto gods. With hundreds of thousands of thralls forming a great energy pool, the Uber Espers finally felt strong enough to do anything they wanted. And so they did. They launched their first attacks against the Emperor Finn's vastly overextended armed forces. There weren't that many left outside of the Parade of the Endless, just a few battalions shuttling back and forth between the other main cities, maintaining order through dramatic shows of force. A few dozen war wagons and battle cruisers dug up relics from Lionstone's time, great dusty steel beasts hovering in the skies, dependent more on reputation than firepower. All of them easy targets for psi storms that came raging out of nowhere without warning. The Uber Espers blew the war machines apart from a distance, ripping apart steel bulkheads with their thoughts and overloading the engine till they blew. Psychokinetic attacks crushed the heavy metal ships in invisible fists, while psionic energies wiped computers and hexed tech. Force shields collapsed and guns wouldn't work. Blazing gravity barges fell ponderously out of the sky, and gravity sleds slammed against each other like toys in the hands of insane gods. Black smoke billowed up from the crippled remains of Finn's armored forces. The next step was to possess the men on the ground. The Uber Espers reached out greedily, using the strength of the elves they'd absorbed, and battalion after battalion screamed helplessly inside their heads as they were taken over, and alien thoughts moved their bodies. What had once been Finn's armies marched into the cities they'd only been sent to subdue and murdered and possessed every man, woman, and child in their path. They didn't need to kill anyone, but they did anyway, just for the fun of it. What city defenses there were collapsed in shock and panic as mass possession swept through the streets and squares in an unstoppable tide. The Uber Espers were now so powerful that one thrall could create another just by looking into their eyes. Possession had become infectious. It leapt through the stampeding crowds like wildfire, jumping instantly from mind to mind. People ran, but there was nowhere to run to. The soldiers of the city surrounded. Attempts at resistance were doomed from the start, because no one could trust anyone. Your closest friend or family could be a thrall, or be made one in a moment. People hid inside their houses and barricaded the doors and windows, but the thralls just broke in anyway, not caring how much they damaged their bodies in the process. Men and women with smashed hands and lacerated arms smiled triumphantly through the jagged gaps they'd made and forced themselves upon the defenseless souls within. Some thralls were even able to manifest Esper abilities on behalf of the Uber Espers that rode them, if only briefly. They strode down the streets, and houses exploded or burst into flames on either side of them. roads cracked apart, and sewers hurled foulness up into the streets. Sometimes the Esper Thralls blew people apart with a look or a word, or made them eat their own flesh, or whatever else occurred to the Uber Espers. The cities became hell on earth, choked with smoke and the smell of blood, and the Uber Espers danced their thralls through the burning streets, tearing everything down just for the fun of it. And when nothing was left but fire and rubble and the piled up bodies of the dead, the Uber Espers marched their thralls out of the dead streets and off down the road to the next city. And so it went, city after city, population after population, until armies of thralls were on the march all over Locus, clogging the roads and tramping through fields full of crops. There was no one left to stop them. Cities in the path of the thrall armies called out to the Emperor for help, but he had nothing to send them. What few troops he had left, he needed to protect the Parade of the Endless. Not that Finn would have sent any help, even if he could have spared it. He didn't see the point in giving up even more of his armed forces to be possessed. And so, cities set up barricades on all the roads leading in, and desperate men stood guard with whatever weapons they could find. Anyone approaching a city was shot on sight, without warnings, no exceptions. It was the only way to be safe. Until the Thrall army came marching up the road, rank upon rank of them, walking right into the face of the defenders' guns, trampling over the fallen until they could swarm the barricades and eat up the defenders' mines. And then they would march on into the city.
We are bringing this to you live, where yet another horrific attack by Esper Thralls lays waste.
From the Rookery, Nina Malapert's news site stayed on the air 24 hours a day, using remote control cameras to bring in the latest news and sightings. They spread word of danger areas and cities under threat as fast as they could get the information out.
Following cities are recommended to begin evacuation by all non-military population.
Telling everyone on Logris and all the watching worlds across the Empire of what was happening now that the Emperor Finn had lost control. Nina's newsreaders became hoarse and strained and white-faced as they told of the endless atrocities and mass murders and possessions and burning cities all across the world. Nina ran herself ragged trying to keep on top of everything, getting warnings out with as much advance time as possible, and lists of safe places to go. She kept the remote cameras moving from city to city, sending live pictures of what was happening. The Uber Espers didn't interfere. They wanted everyone to know what was coming for them.
Despite official reports to the contrary, there can be no denying Logris is in a state of global crisis. The following cities have been decimated.
Even the newsreaders on Finn's propaganda news channels joined in, ignoring the scheduled programming. They knew a real emergency when they saw one. They shared resources with Nina's sites, trying to get useful information to those who needed it. After a while, they started to feel like real news people again, and ignored the piling up propaganda reports and the increasingly angry orders from Finn's censors in order to stick with the real story. Massive crowds of refugees took to the roads and even commandeered the air traffic lanes, abandoning cities in the path of the Uber Esper hordes. They ran away from their homes and their lives, taking only what they could carry with them, not sure where they were going, not knowing if anywhere could ever be truly safe again. They filled up the roads, millions of refugees on the move, shocked and tear-stained and numb with horror, leaving behind them a trail of abandoned possessions that became too heavy to carry. They moved as fast as they could and kept rest stops to a minimum. The thralls were coming after them, and they never got tired, never slowed, never stopped. Some cities and towns took the refugees in, some turned them away, some shot at them on sight. Everywhere, the few charitable cities and larger towns became saturated with people, overloaded to the breaking point with people too tired to continue. Many just sat down suddenly, wherever they were, and their strength ran out. Too numb to care, too exhausted even to eat. Facilities quickly broke down, even the most basic comforts and services unable to cope. There wasn't enough of anything to go around. Food distribution between cities just stopped. Civilization was falling apart on the homeworld of the Empire. Uber Espers soaked up the energy supplied by millions of captive minds, and their powers blossomed as never before. They could do things now almost beyond even their wildest dreams. And being the kind of creatures they were, they looked upon each other with increasing suspicion. They had never trusted each other, quite rightly believing that any or all of them would turn on any or all of them, who seemed dangerously powerful or invitingly weak. For a while, they discussed scattering, leaving Logris for other worlds, so they could each have their own planet to subjugate and play with, safe from the interference and threat of each other's ambitions. The idea was attractive, but they knew they were more powerful together than they could ever be apart. And besides, if they did go their separate ways, there was always the chance that one of them might become allied with another, and prey on a mind alone. They couldn't risk that. And even more than this, some strange, unexpected force from within kept them from taking the idea too seriously. Some inner voice that whispered it would be a very, very bad thing for the Uber-Espers ever to become separated. So instead, they decided to take control of Logris first, and then send their thralls out to conquer the other worlds. Once they forced their way into the Imperial Palace and possessed Emperor Finn, they could shut down all reports of what was happening, wait a while, and then happy, smiling faces on all the news sites would announce that the emergency was over, everything was fine, and the happy, smiling Emperor would order the other planets to open their starports to the goodwill ambassadors he was sending them. And the plague of possession would jump from world to world to world. The wave of mass possession swept from city to city, crossing the whole world in a matter of weeks, and nothing could stop it or even slow it down. It jumped from eye to eye, head to head, often over before it was even suspected. The weaker minds tended to fall first, and so it was that children and even babies became thrall changelings.
Mommy, don't run away!
No! No!
They attacked their parents and siblings with whatever came to hand, filled with alien glee, as blood soaked their small hands. The Uber-Espers had always believed in the use of horror to destabilize opposition, and they did so savor the taste of the more vivid emotions as they picked through brains like gorkrows on a battlefield. They sent their thralls running madly through the streets, killing for the joy of it until killed in their turn, and shock and terror and panic destroyed any defenses the cities might have been able to assemble. But there was still one final horror, even beyond what had already happened. Diana Virtue discovered it.
I sympathize, but I doubt you can do anything against the massed might of the Uber-Espers, and I'm afraid we might lose you. If, God forbid, you become possessed...
I understand your concerns. We're going anyway.
Douglas heard something of the old Jenny Psycho in her voice, so he just nodded and turned away. Diana led her followers, the Psycho Sluts, out of the rookery and the Parade of the Endless, and they flew high in the skies of Logris like gaudy hawks of war, on a mission to protect the next city from the Thrall's path. Diana and the Psycho Sluts came to Delta City in the early hours of the morning, dropping out of the crimson-streaked dawn like so many avenging angels. They took up a position on the outskirts of the city by an abandoned barricade made up of piled-up furniture, and linked their minds to set up a mental barrier in the path of the advancing thralls. The barrier shimmered on the heavy morning air like heat haze, shot through with psionic energies. Diana could hear the thrall army coming, long before she saw it. So many feet, an army beyond counting, shaking the road with their studied, malevolent approach. They appeared slowly over the curve of the horizon. At first, just a crowd, and then an army, and then so much more. An uncountable force, all walking in perfect lockstep, their feet up thunder on the road. The Uber-Espers must have known the mental barrier was there. They didn't even slow their thralls' advance. They marched on, all with the same awful smile, the same horrid eyes, and crashed right through the barrier. The moment a thrall passed through it, the mental contact with the Uber-Espers was cut off, the possessing mind forced out of the body. The body fell forward to lie limp and still on the ground, with empty faces and dead eyes. Nobody home. The thralls kept coming, crowding through the barrier, collapsing into growing heaps of unmoving bodies before Diana and her appalled followers. For this was the final horror. The Uber-Espers had become so powerful that once they took over a mind and ate it up, they wiped the brain completely clean. The old personality was subsumed, gone forever. A thrall was just a shell now, an empty body for the Uber-Espers to use as they would. Thralls could no longer be freed from possession and return to their lives. Possession like mind death. Diana looked at the empty bodies piling up before her and didn't know what to do. She couldn't save anyone, and she and the sluts couldn't maintain the barrier indefinitely. Sooner or later, the sheer number of thralls would overwhelm them.
Damn it!
So Diana dropped the shield, and she and the psycho sluts flew silently back to the rookery. The one place she thought she could still be sure of defending. Delta City was left to its own defenses and fell. Later, she reported back to Douglas Campbell.
I can keep the rookery safe.
What about the Parade of the Endless?
What about them?
The rookery was now the only place on Logris immune to Uber-Esper possession. The combination of human and Esper and alien minds had always frustrated the Uber-Esper's grasp, and the new protective field set up around the expanded territory of the rookery made everyone there safe from any and all forms of mental attack. And the Uber-Espers had good reason to be wary of Diana Virtue. They had worked together to murder her over a century before, and yet, here she was back again, and they had no idea how. Even they didn't think they could bring themselves back from the dead. And there was always the chance Diana might make contact with a departed but still hated Oversoul, wherever they had got to on their City of New Hope. The Uber-Espers thought they could probably take the Oversoul, but they weren't in any hurry to find out. The only way the Uber-Espers could hope to crack the shield around the rookery would be to lure Diana and the psycho-sluts out so they could be ambushed, or for the Uber-Espers to turn up at the rookery in person, and they sure as hell weren't ready to try that yet. They would wait until they had overthrown and possessed all the cities on Logris, and then they would come and take the Parade of the Endless. And then... oh yes. And then... Douglas Campbell called a meeting in his hotel room. All the really important people came, while two psycho-sluts stood guard outside the door so they wouldn't be interrupted or overheard. Douglas looked tired and harried, as well he might. He hadn't slept or rested properly since the emergency began. There was panic inside and outside the rookery, and everyone was looking to him for answers, for hope and salvation. No one expected anything from the Emperor, but Douglas was the acclaimed King of Thieves, the man who could do anything. And there in his crowded hotel room, Stuart Lennox, Tel Markham, Diana Virtue, and Nina Malapert all looked to Douglas for answers he didn't have. He couldn't tell them that, of course. He had made himself their leader, so he had to lead, even if he wasn't sure where he was going. Douglas sighed inwardly and did his best to look calm and certain as he sat back in his chair.
Let's take things in order. The Emperor is no longer our main enemy and can no longer be the main target of our energies. He has his own problems, so we needn't worry about him. All our old plans and strategies are hereby scrapped, or at least postponed indefinitely, until we've dealt with the menace of the Uber-Espers. Diana, let's start with you. Tell us about Delta City.
The whole city has fallen. The girls and I watched it happen from a safe distance. The city's population is now either dead or possessed. No one got out alive. Anyone too old, too young, or too sick to walk was butchered on the spot. That's what the Uber-Espers will do to us when they come here. We can't negotiate, even if someone was dumb enough to suggest it, because we don't have anything they want that we could use to buy them off. And I don't know if we're strong enough to keep them out. The best we can hope for is to hold the thralls off long enough for the Uber-Espers to get impatient and turn up in person. There are a few things I could try then, if they were stupid enough to put themselves at risk, which they aren't.
You sound scared of them. I didn't think you were scared of anyone. I mean, you're Jenny Psycho, one of the legends of Old Empire.
Aren't you a bit old to be believing in legends? The last time the Uber-Espers ganged up on me in an ambush over 100 years ago, they killed me. They didn't even leave enough of my body to bury. And they're even more powerful now.
Nina fixed Diana with a thoughtful look.
You never did explain how you came back from that.
No, I didn't, did I?
What are our options? Speak up, people. I'll listen to anything that even sounds halfway sane.
We stay put.
Tel Markham hovered at Douglas's side, as always, a dark, grim presence in clothes he kept spotlessly clean.
We let the Uber-Espers army enter the Parade of the Endless and then watch safely from the rookery as Finn's soldiers go head-to-head with the thralls. With any luck, they should weaken each other considerably. We put armed guards on our barricades to keep everyone out. We don't have the room or the resources to support any more refugees. When the worst of the fighting is over, we go out and hit the survivors with everything we've got. The thralls might have the numbers, but they don't have our weapons or our knowledge of fighting. We should be able to push a weakened force back out of the city and then take over the Parade of the Endless for ourselves. Finn will be too weak to stop us.
And then?
We wait for the Death Stalker and his fleet to turn up and save the day. They can't be far off now.
Douglas looked at Nina, who shrugged.
Sorry, lovey. But as long as the fleet's still in hyperspace, there's no telling how far off they are. They could be here today, tomorrow, next week. We won't know till they're practically ready to hit orbit.
And in the meantime, we're supposed to let everyone else in the city die or be possessed, while watching safely from behind our mental shield.
The safety of the rookery must come first.
No. We go out into the city and protect the people. This is our city, and they are all our people. Stuart, talk with our strategy groups and start putting together some possible courses of action for me to consider. We have resources none of the other cities had, and I want to use them all, to the full. We can do this. We are going to hold this city against everything the Uber Espers can throw at us, and prove they're not unbeatable.
Who are we supposed to be proving it to? Our best information is that every other city on the planet has already fallen. Smaller towns are being ignored, for now, but we're all that's left, Douglas.
Then we prove it to ourselves. After all, someone's got to be here to welcome Lewis home.
The Uber Espers summoned their armies from all over Logris and pointed them at the Parade of the Endless. Millions of possessed bodies tramped away from the ruins of cities, all wearing the same smile on their faces. Millions upon millions of thralls, moved by five all-powerful minds, heading towards the last free city in the world to tear down the Emperor Finn Girondal and his people, and then move on to the final prize, the various tasty minds and souls of the rookery, the dessert at the end of a very satisfying meal, and the chance for revenge on one of their oldest enemies. Life was good. The Thrall armies filled the roads and the skies, all heading in the same direction, with mayhem and murder on their minds. In his usurped palace in the Parade of the Endless, the Emperor Finn Girondal contacted every other world in the Empire and demanded help and support and military reinforcements, and every single world turned him down flat. Even the staunchest fanatics of the Church Militant and Pure Humanity laughed in his face and warned him not to send any ships to their worlds. Any ship traveling from Logris would be blown apart on sight for fear of infection. And that very definitely included any ship the Emperor might be traveling on. Everyone was more scared of the Uber Espers now than they were of Finn. He no longer had the power to compel their obedience.
The cowardly traitors.
The Emperor stalked back and forth in his private chambers, thinking furiously and making note of certain names for future retribution. He had no doubt there would be a future. He was confident he could beat this problem, as he'd beaten so many others. One idea rose almost immediately, but it took a lot more pacing up and down and heavy scowling before he was ready to embrace it.
Oh, bloody hell.
If he was going to beat these Esper freaks, he would have to make an alliance with his most hated enemy. His old friend and comrade in arms, Douglas Campbell. It left a nasty taste in the mouth, but Finn had always been able to do the tough, necessary thing. With the forces of the rookery joined to his clone army, he could go head-to-head with the thralls and not have to worry about fighting on two fronts at once. Douglas would hate the idea, but he'd agree, because he still believed in things like duty and honor and responsibility. Finn just believed in survival. Finn's armed forces were much reduced, especially after the second disastrous invasion of the rookery. All he had was his clone army, some scattered troopers and peacekeepers, and his own personal following of hardcore fanatics, the ones that worshipped him as a god. They were always saying they were ready to die for him. Now they'd get a chance to prove it. The vast majority of the Church Militant and Pure Humanity on Logris had fallen away from the faith in recent times, the Quitters, especially after the execution of their nominal leader, Joseph Wallace. Finn had no doubt he could persuade and cajole most of them to crawl out of their holes and fight on his behalf. He'd always been a great public speaker. But given current conditions, he'd probably have to promise them all kinds of things. Still, promises were all very well. But wait until the thralls were defeated and the city was his again,
and then let the poor fools come crying for what they'd been promised. A bargain that cannot be enforced is no bargain at all. Finn had to stamp out the threat of the Uber-Espers before Lewis Deathstalker appeared with his damned fleet. Finn had to be seen to be in charge of his city, if not his world, so that he could negotiate from a position of strength. And once Lewis was down on Logris and within reach, all kinds of things might happen. Finn scowled. He was short on time. The fleet could turn up any when.
No. Concentrate on the matter at hand. Make the deal with Douglas. Combine forces against the Uber Espers and their thralls. At least that way I can be reasonably sure that a whole lot of my enemies in the rookery will die in the fighting instead of comfortably sitting it out behind their precious shields. Douglas is really going to hate this, but he won't let his pride and personal feelings get in the way of defending his beloved city. And just maybe, in the press of the fighting, a knife in the back of my old friend when no one is looking. Ah, yes. Every cloud has a silver lining.
And so the Emperor Finn Durandal sent an emissary to the rookery to discuss terms. Agreeing in principle was one thing. Both sides insisted on strict conditions for their own protection. After a certain amount of verbal fencing over very secure comlinks, it was agreed that Douglas would meet with one man from Finn's inner circle at his hotel in the rookery. Finn hadn't suggested a meeting at the palace. He didn't feel like being laughed at. The Emperor sent Mr. Sylvester, who was well known to the rookery. Finn had found him there a long time ago. Mr. Sylvester was a forger, computer hacker, confidence trickster, agent provocateur, and first-class ruiner of reputations. Finn had found a use for all his dubious talents at one time or another. Mr. Sylvester was searched extremely thoroughly at the border to the rookery, including a full body scan for weapons, comm bugs, or implanted suicide bombs. Because you never knew with Finn. And just because the rookery guards felt like giving Mr. Sylvester a hard time. People who had worked willingly for Finn in the past were no longer popular in the rookery. The guards also searched the silk-masked figure who accompanied Mr. Sylvester, but he was clean too. One brave soul took a peek at what the man was carrying in his glass jar under a cloth, and then had to go away and vomit up everything he'd ever eaten. Mr. Sylvester and his associate were marched through the rookery by a full company of soldiers, at least partly to keep onlookers from throwing heavy, pointed things at their prodigal son. Mr. Sylvester stared straight ahead, smiling professionally, ignoring the threats and insults from the crowds he passed. His masked associate flinched and jumped at every word. The soldiers finally ushered Mr. Sylvester into Douglas's hotel room, while insisting the masked man stay outside. The deal had been for one emissary only. Mr. Sylvester looked calmly about him, holding his great leonine head proudly high. He flicked his heavy velvet cloak back over his shoulders to better show off his cloth of gold waistcoat, and smiled at the grim faces before him.
Dear sirs and madam, it is a pleasure and an honor to be here in such august company. Douglas Campbell, legendary king of thieves and hero in exile. Stuart Lennox, brave and canny paragon from Viramond. Finn sends his best wishes. Nina Malapert, beautiful star and vibrant personality of the Rogue News sites.
Mr. Sylvester raised a painted eyebrow at the last man present.
And tell Markham, my dear fellow, I had no idea. We all thought you were dead.
I don't die that easily.
Tell stuck very close to Douglas, who sat his chair as though it were a throne. Tell looked Mr. Sylvester over unhurriedly.
I can't say I'm surprised Finn sent you, Sylvester. You always were good with words, especially when treachery was required. But I have to say, I barely recognized you. You're carrying a lot of weight these days. Good eating at Finn's table?
Always.
Mr. Sylvester patted the waistcoat, straining over his great stomach, contentedly.
Well, you know me, Tell. I always land on my feet.
I'm surprised you can still see them. And yes, I do know you, Sylvester. You lie like you breathe, and the truth is not in you. Who's the masked man outside? You were told to come alone.
A gift to the king from Finn. But that can wait. My dear sir, I have the honor to represent the Emperor Finn and am empowered by him to enter into all necessary agreements on his behalf. My word shall be binding on him.
Hold it right there, mister. I never met a pie I didn't like. First, Douglas, you need to understand just who and what Mr. Sylvester is, and what he did to you and your friends. This man forged letters and planted false files in computers, all to destroy the reputations of Lewis and Jessamine. He planted stories in the media, started whispering campaigns, and did everything he could to separate you from the people you trusted. Everything bad you ever heard about Lewis and Jessamine originated in this man.
Mr. Sylvester bowed modestly.
Oh, you are too kind, Del.
Did you really do all that?
Well, yes. That is my work, my business, my calling. It wasn't all that difficult. A letter here, a hidden file discovered there, and the whole picture of a man's life could be changed. In Jessamine's case, all I had to do was exaggerate and make public already existing material. The Death Stalker was more of a challenge. There was so very little to work with. Good and honest and noble.
Boring, boring.
But in the end, that actually helped. People are always ready to believe the worst of those who seem to be better than they are.
Was none of it true? All the things I condemned him for?
Well, it did turn out he really was having an affair with your wife-to-be. That did help.
How was I ever fooled by such a thing as you?
My dear fellow, it was just a job, I assure you. Nothing personal.
And I was so quick to believe your lies. I should have known better. I always trusted Lewis to guard my back when we were paragons together. I trusted him with my life then.
Pity you couldn't trust him with your fiancée. Oh, but let bygones be bygones. We have an alliance to discuss.
Why did the Emperor send you, Mr. Sylvester?
Well, because he needed someone who could negotiate delicate matters without getting too emotional. And, truth be told, he doesn't have that many people left he feels he can trust anymore. Possibly because he's killed most of them.
This whole idea of an alliance stinks! We're safe here in the Rookery. We don't need Finn.
The city needs us. And we could accomplish a lot more with the support of Finn's people.
But you can't ally with the Durandal. He'll betray you.
He'll certainly try. This is Finn we're talking about, after all. But for the moment, we need each other. And he knows me well enough to be sure that I won't let personal differences get in the way of doing the right thing. The thralls have to be stopped, and my people saved. And we can only achieve that by pooling our resources. So, we are allies. Because as bad as Finn is, the Uber Espers are worse. And by far the most immediate danger... Pardon me, Mr. Sylvester, I'm thinking aloud. Tell your master that the deal is made, subject to certain conditions. The first of which is, my help comes at a price. In return for this strictly temporary alliance against a common foe, I demand that he give up to justice the criminal scientists who have done such evil in his service. People like Elijah Ducat, who produced the clone of my brother James, and Dr. Happy, for what he did to Anne Barclay.
The Emperor anticipated your request. I have both these gentlemen waiting outside. With your permission?
Douglas nodded quickly, surprised. Stuart drew his disruptor. Mr. Sylvester walked slowly over to the door, careful not to make any sudden movements. Sylvester beckoned to the masked man waiting in the corridor. The man stepped into the room, still carrying his great glass jar under a heavy cloth, and then reached up to remove the silk mask that covered his face. Elijah Ducat peered quickly about him, sweating heavily and twitching nervously. Keeping a careful eye on the gun in Stuart's hand, Ducat pulled the cloth away from the large glass jar, revealing the severed head of Dr. Happy. The head was in pretty bad condition. Most of the skin had rotted away, showing patches of discolored meat and bone. The lips had receded back from the protruding teeth, and the eyes had shriveled up in the sockets. Thin wisps of hair sailed away from the misshapen skull,
drifting slowly on the preservative fluids that filled the jar. What made it so much worse was that the head was very definitely still alive. The eyes tracked back and forth, fixing on people in turn, and the mouth moved constantly as though trying to speak. Everyone studied the head with varying amounts of horror and disgust, except for Nina, who pressed forward eagerly.
Oh, this is just gross! Puketacular! This is going to look really great on the next news broadcast. Lead spot guaranteed. They won't be able to look away. We were all sure that Finn had killed him long ago. Why didn't Finn have him killed?
Well, it wasn't for want of trying.
Mr. Sylvester gestured for Ducat to put the glass jar down on a nearby table. The head bobbed slightly, and a few bubbles popped out of the eaten-away nose.
It seems Dr. Happy had taken to dosing himself with some of his more esoteric concoctions. He was never the same after he came back from Hayden. As I understand it, and I'm quite prepared to admit that I don't, the good Dr. Happy has been dead for some time, but he won't lie down. Finn used him as target practice for a while, and then he had Dr. Happy beheaded to stop him from running around and upsetting the servants. The body then ran around the lab, crashing into valuable equipment, while the head called the Emperor names. In the end, the body was captured, cut up, and burned, and the ashes scattered in separate locations, just in case. And he sent you the head. It is yours to do with as you please, and no, you can't send it back again. The same goes for Ducat, of course.
What the hell was Dr. Happy trying to achieve with his drugs?
Nina was kneeling before the glass jar and tapping on the glass with her fingers to try to attract the head's attention.
No one's exactly sure. Apparently, at some point, he saw beyond the boundaries of reality, and what he found there destroyed whatever rational part of his mind was left. All he did after that was throw things at people and wander through the palace corridors singing show tunes. Badly.
Douglas's attention was fixed on the sweating, shaking Elijah Ducat.
So, Clone Master, have you anything to say for yourself?
None of it was my idea, Your Majesty. You must believe that. It was all down to Finn. All the things I did.
Yes, all the things you did. Like desecrating my brother's grave for the cell samples you needed to produce his clone. Like aiding and abetting in the imprisonment and death of my father. Things like that!
The Emperor supposed you would want to execute Ducat and Dr. Happy yourself. So he sent them to you as a gift and a sign of good faith.
Yes, I want to kill them. For all the harm and suffering they've caused. For all the lives they've poisoned and ruined. But I can't just kill them. That would be wrong. Personal vengeance masquerading as justice is Finn's way. I have to be better than that. There has to be justice. There has to be a trial.
We don't have time for trials.
Diana Virtue came striding briskly into the room without waiting to be invited or announced.
Come on, Douglas. You didn't really think you could hold this meeting without me knowing. I am a telepath, among other things. What's the matter? Were you afraid I wouldn't approve of an alliance with Finn? Hell, I can face reality when I have to. A very temporary alliance against the Uber-Espers is the only sensible answer to our current problems. But we don't have time to waste on show trials for trash like this. If you can't kill them, I can.
She looked at Elijah Ducat. She looked at the severed head in the jar. Nina recoiled. The head and jar vanished in a flare of psionic energies. Diana looked at Mr. Sylvester.
No! Please, no!
So perish all traitors. Say hi to Finn for me, Mr. Sylvester. Tell him I'll be seeing him soon.
Mr. Sylvester was still shaking when he was escorted back out of the rookery to carry Douglas's acceptance of the alliance back to Finn Durandal. Douglas Campbell addressed a huge rally of his people in the biggest open square in the rookery. It took hours for the crowd to assemble, as damn near everyone came to listen. Nina's cameras floated overhead, carrying Douglas's words to the rest of the city and Logris and all the worlds in the Empire. Everyone knew about the thralls. Everyone knew what the stakes were. So Douglas kept it short and simple.
We have to go out and fight the thralls. We and Finn's people are all that stand between total domination of Logris by the Uber Espers. I know it won't come easy to fight alongside Finn's soldiers. Thugs and bullies and scumbags, most of them. But the enemy of my enemy is my ally, if not actually my friend. There will be time for settling old scores later, after we've beaten the Uber Espers and their thrall army. We can beat them. Thanks to the training we've put you through, preparing for the rebellion, you are all first-class warriors. The thralls aren't. All they have is numbers, and there's a limit to how many of them can get into the city at one time. Because they're being controlled by minds far away, they won't be able to change tactics or react quickly to changing conditions. That should give us the advantage we need. And remember, always shoot to kill. Even if you think you recognize someone, the people you knew are dead. Mind wiped by the controlling mind. We can't save or rescue them. Their bodies are nothing more than empty shells. So, go and prepare yourselves for war and victory! It is our time! Come round at last!
And of everyone there, only Douglas wondered if what he'd said was really true. Douglas went back to his hotel room to be alone with his thoughts for a while.
Oh my God.
Only to find an old familiar face waiting for him on the view screen that Nina's people had set up. The media tech who'd taken the call nodded quickly to Douglas and then hurried out of the room. Douglas lowered himself slowly into his chair, never taking his eyes off the face on the screen.
Douglas, it's been a long time.
Yes. Yes, it has. Hello, Lewis.
Hello, Douglas. A lot has changed since we last spoke.
I've been, talking to one of Finn's creatures, a Mr. Sylvester. He's admitted to planting and spreading lies about you and Jess. I'm so sorry, Lewis. I should have known.
I did try to tell you.
I know you did, but I was rather upset at the time. You and Jess... Oh, hell, Lewis, come home. All is forgiven. Can you forgive me?
Of course. What are friends for? Even if you did behave like a complete prick. About coming home? That's the point of this message. The fleet is on its way. We should be with you in a day or two, maybe less, if the star drives don't explode under the strain we're putting on them.
That's good news. We desperately need allies with major firepower. Are you up to date on what's happening here?
Oh, yeah. We never miss Nina Malapert's broadcasts. How the hell did the Uber Espers get that powerful?
Beats the hell out of us. Have you heard anything about Shub?
Just that all their machines have shut down. All our ship's AIs are offline.
I tried contacting Shub for help when it all went to hell here. No one's answering. No reply from their embassy or their homeworld. That has to mean something.
Could the Uber Espers have taken them out? I wouldn't have thought they could possess artificial intelligences, but... Or maybe the Terrors got to their home planet?
No, I'd have heard about that. All the latest reports say the Terror's still on course and days away from its next target. What kind of support are you bringing me, Lewis? I could use some good news.
714 Star Cruisers, plus hundreds of ships from Mistworld and Viramont, and a couple of surprises. On top of that, Jessamine and I and Brett Random and Rose Constantine have all been through the Madness Maze. We're pretty surprising ourselves these days, if not exactly in Owen's class. Oh, and John Silence is with us. The legend himself. He's the admiral of our fleet.
Douglas leaned forward eagerly.
You've been through the maze. What was it like?
I don't know whether it's a machine or alive, or both. It opens you up, makes you more than you were. It's like being in another place. Maybe the place we were before we were born. It feels like coming home, like family. Oh, hell, Douglas. There just aren't the words.
Apparently not. Pour on the speed, Lewis. We need you and your fleet here soon, or you'll be too late to do anything but scorch the whole damn planet from orbit. Don't hesitate to do that if there's nothing else left. The Uber Espers cannot be allowed to leave this world.
I'm not sure even a scorching would kill those monsters. But you can trust me to do whatever's necessary.
Of course. I always could. How is she, Lewis?
She's fine.
They looked at each other for a long time, but there really wasn't anything else they could say. Diana Virtue and the Psycho Sluts labored together to produce a psionic working that would shield and protect the Rookery while they were out in the city. Plugged directly into their unconscious minds, the working would hold the shield in place without their having to think about it all the time, for as long as one of them still lived. There were some in the Rookery who wouldn't be going out to fight, those too young or too old or still recovering from the last invasion, and they had to be kept safe from possession, as well as attacking thralls. The shield would keep out the Uber Esper mines. They'd have to turn up in person to force a way in, and they weren't that stupid.
But what happens if the Uber Espers do turn up in person?
Run like hell for the nearest horizon. It won't do you any good, but it should take your mind off the horror to come.
Oh, you're such a comfort, Diana.
I know. Aren't you glad I'm here to tell you these things?
The thrall armies of the Uber Espers finally came to the Parade of the Endless by all the roads at once and marched across the city boundaries. They poured into the city down 100 roads from 100 dead cities, millions of possessed men and women and even children, run by 5 terribly powerful minds. They found no victims waiting for them in the outskirts. The people living there had long since abandoned their homes, retreating to the better defended center of the city. Some had fled out into the surrounding countryside, hoping to avoid the marching armies. The hovering Uber Espers picked them out easily and added them to the horde. And now they marched back into their city with someone else living in their heads. Finn pulled his forces back from the city boundaries and carefully practiced disorder, pretending to fall back in a panic, but actually retreating just slowly enough to keep the thralls pursuing them, towards the ambushes and booby traps Finn had waiting for them. And as the thralls swarmed into the city, the people of the Rookery came storming out. They swiftly made contact with the retreating forces, who were so scared they were actually pleased to see the very rebels they'd been fighting the week before. Most of the clone guards, still wearing their steel masks, just didn't have the practical experience to deal with fighting on a scale like this, and were glad of expert minds to tell them what to do. They were programmed to follow orders from anyone who gave them with sufficient authority. The thralls came in, the defending forces stopped retreating and went to meet them, and vicious hand-to-hand fighting filled the city streets and squares and open parks. The defenders had swords and axes, guns and grenades. The thralls mostly had improvised weapons and a vast superiority in numbers. Blood flew and bodies fell, and the tides of battle surged blindly this way and that. Diana Virtue and the Psycho Sluts flew high above it all, hanging on the sky like gaudy birds of prey, casting a protection over the defenders below so that the thralls couldn't possess them with eye contact. The thrall armies, and through them the Uber Espers, were thrown and confused at first when their main tactic suddenly no longer worked, and they took a lot of losses before they gathered their wits and urged the thralls on into open combat. They plunged forward with swords and knives, and often just their grasping, clawing hands. They were all attack and no defense, because there were always more to replace those who fell. Sometimes just the sheer force of numbers was enough to overwhelm and overrun even the best prepared defenders. It was clear to the Uber Espers that they wouldn't be claiming any more thralls in the Parade of the Endless until the defenders were defeated and Diana and her sluts were brought down, or until the Uber Espers found the courage to leave their bolt holes and join the attack in person. They might. They were all in the city, or more properly, under it. And they did so want to pull this famed city down and make it theirs. Terrible fighting raged back and forth in the streets, and blood and guts splashed the walls and ran thickly in the gutters as the bodies piled up on every side. A dozen thralls fell for every defender, but the odds were thousands to one. The thralls kept pouring across the city boundaries, and there were still more on the way. They had no real tactics, only mass movements and the voices in their heads screaming, "Kill, kill," but there seemed no end to their numbers. And unlike the defenders, they never got tired or careless or afraid. The rebels from the Rookery were spread all over the city, inspiring others through their vicious example, but they couldn't be everywhere. Two armies clashed, bodies fell and did not rise again, and the focus of the fighting moved slowly, but inexorably, toward the heart of the city and the Imperial Palace. And while all this was going on, Douglas Campbell was somewhere else. He and Tel Markham crept through deserted side streets, avoiding the fighting, heading for the Imperial Palace to meet with Emperor Finn, that together they might set a trap for the Uber-Espers. A trap promising the only bait that might tempt the Uber-Espers into coming to the palace in person, a king and an emperor. Both Douglas and Finn had agreed that the only real hope they had of defeating the thralls was to lure the Uber-Espers out of their hiding places and face them in person. Only when those five monsters were dead would the threat really be over. The meeting should have been just for Douglas and Finn, but Tel Markham insisted on accompanying Douglas to the palace to watch the king's back. He, better than anyone else living, had good reason to know just how treacherous the Emperor could be. Douglas didn't object. Finn had been very clear in his instructions that Douglas should come alone, but Douglas wasn't about to start taking orders from Finn Durandal. Of course, there was always the chance that Tel intended to betray Douglas to Finn for labyrinthine reasons of his own, but Douglas didn't think so. Hell hath no fury like an intriguer scorned. The two of them walked together through a deserted palace. All the guards and most of the servants were out in the city fighting, and the rest were hiding. The living had abandoned the dark and bloody corridors to the dead. They were everywhere now, even more than on Douglas's last visit. Rotting bodies hung from nooses or steel garrotes, and severed heads stood in rows on wooden stakes. In some places, the old carpeting was so thickly and darkly stained with blood that the patterns had disappeared. The air was thick and hot and still, and rank with foulness. Douglas strode quickly along, not allowing himself to be distracted, while Tel scowled.
Oh, it's a bloody nightmare.
It took a long time to reach the court, where Finn Durandal sat in state on his throne, smiling down on his visitors from the raised dais.
So here we are again. Well, well, I knew you'd bring someone, Douglas, so I thought I'd have a little company too.
He indicated the dead man, swinging slowly from a rope beside his throne. Mr. Sylvester hadn't been dead long. His eyes bulged from his dark, congested face, and a purple tongue protruded from his mouth. His great body twisted slowly back and forth. Finn smiled fondly, and gave the body a gentle push with one hand to keep it moving.
A peace offering, Douglas, to show my sincerity. How sorry I am for all the nasty things he did on my behalf. And he had outlived his usefulness, after all. I had a hell of a time getting him up there, kicking and struggling and carrying on, and it wasn't easy to find a rope that would take his weight. The first two snapped. The things I'd do for you, Douglas, and you never appreciate them. But then that's what started all this, wasn't it?
What happened to the two other thrones? Tradition always had two more thrones, one for the Queen and one for the Blessed Owen on his return.
Oh, I got rid of them long ago. Thou shalt have no other gods but me and all that. Now, I was going to do something. What was it? Oh, yes. Relax, Douglas. Show's over. It had to be done. He betrayed me. And there's some shit I just won't put up with. Now it's just the two of us, as it was always meant to be. Tel didn't belong here any more than Mr. Sylvester. They were only ever minor players in our drama. Are you wearing your S-blocker?
Of course.
Douglas slowly put his gun away. He deliberately didn't look at the dead Tel Markham.
The most heavy-duty S-blocker Diana Virtue could put together. And there's still no guarantee it'll work if the Uber-Espers do show up in person.
Oh, you know they will. How could they not? A chance to possess the two leaders of the city defenses? The two men who've done so much to defy them? They won't be able to resist us. I'm quite looking forward to seeing them again. They really are spectacularly ugly.
Douglas slowly ascended the dais steps to stand beside Finn's throne. He looked out over the empty court. For a moment, the two men were silent, remembering.
Just like old times, eh?
Not really, no.
We had some good times here.
That was a long time ago when we were very different people.
You might have been different. I've always been just me. Though perhaps I'm a little more open about it these days. Do you like what I've done with the palace?
I hate it.
You never did have any taste. I've done wonders with the place. A real makeover.
It is very you. But don't worry, once I've taken it back, I'll have the cleaners working in shifts for weeks. No one will know you were ever here.
There was another long silence. So many unspoken words burned between them, of betrayal and murder and crimes beyond counting, but somehow that wasn't what they wanted to talk about. They had been friends once.
You know, when this is all over, you could surrender to me. I can guarantee a life sentence in prison rather than execution, for old time's sake.
Prison would be death to me. You could surrender to me, but I wouldn't advise it. I have all kinds of appalling things planned for you, if we both survive this. I do try to be optimistic, but it isn't easy. Things never go the way you expect, do they?
No, they don't.
So, you're the King of Thieves now. I'm Emperor. You never did think big enough.
I was granted my title by popular acclaim. You stole yours.
Best way.
How could you, Finn? How could you do all the things you've done? All the terrible things?
It was easy. I just stopped pretending I cared. That's always been your weakness, Douglas. You do things for others. I do them for myself.
No. That's my strength. You never did understand that. It's why my people stand and fight, and yours run away.
But I run an empire, while you only have part of a city. It's a vision thing, Douglas.
How could I have been so wrong about you? We were friends, partners, comrades in arms for so many years. I thought I knew you.
A lot of people have made that mistake.
And that was when the Uber Espers appeared, all at once, teleporting into the open space of the abandoned court, dropping into reality like so many rotten fruit. The temperature in the Great Hall plummeted as the materialization sucked all the heat out of the surrounding air. Douglas and Finn both shuddered involuntarily, not entirely from the cold. Finn rose up off his throne, gun in hand, and Douglas stood at his side, gun at the ready.